Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Well, good afternoon from sunny and warm Tyler, Texas. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of the American College Experience, and I'm also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. And I'm so excited that you decided to join us live for today's show. It is going to be a wonderful experience. I've got Coach Kim Kettleson coming on the air. Coach Kettleson is one of the coaches at Tyler Junior Colleges, and he is also the director of the Professional Tennis Management Program there on campus. And I know it, and several other hundreds of people out there know it as Tennis Tech, and we're going to talk about that today. And very excited about that. If you're joining us for the first time today, I'm going to ask what took you so long to get here. We are the UR Tennis Network. We've been broadcasting. This is our fourth year of broadcasting. We've done over 1,000 hours of tennis broadcasting. We are a complement, as we say, to the Tennis Channel. The Tennis Channel does a great job of putting tennis programming out there, but they just don't have the time to cover the personalities in the tennis world that we do. And so we have spent lots of volunteer hours within our network to bring you four stories and interviews that they just couldn't do. And so we spend each week volunteering an hour's worth of time on air, bringing you the personalities that we believe are strong forces in the tennis world. And we're always looking for new personalities to come on and spend an hour of their week passionately devoted to interviewing tennis people. So if you think you're one of those personalities and you've got passion for tennis and you want to interview other personalities out there, please do not hesitate to get in touch with me. My email is jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com, and I'll be glad to talk to you about the responsibilities and the expectations of the interview process. So ever forward, I hope you've been able to listen to some of the past shows that we've been doing here. College tennis is moving through its championship period, and it's an exciting time. The junior colleges have finished their national championships, and we have our first dual winner. ASA program out of New York City was able to complete a dual championship sweep here. Last week, Coach Brian Slack, who's promised to be on the program in the summer, had coached both the men and the women two national championships, narrowly defeating TJC in both of those. First one, the women in Tyler, Texas, the second one in Plano, Texas. And so we look forward to getting an interview with him, Coach Slack, in the summer. For the rest of the story here, Division II finished theirs right before Division I. And we will be pursuing these coaches. This is my favorite time of the year. We get these college coaches in the summer to follow up on their season and tell us their national championship story run. Division II men, we had West Florida. They edged out Hawaii Pacific 5-2. And this was the program's first title since 2005. West Florida, they do an outstanding job down there with their programs, and we look forward to having coaches on the air. Division II women, and we had Coach Siegel on the air earlier this year. Barry outlasted Armstrong State over a five-hour dual match, and I can't wait to hear the story behind that one. You know, it's becoming kind of like you got to get on the show in order to win a national championship, and so we're excited about that, and hope that that's true in years to come. now Division One, and this happened over the just recently after the 16 teams made it through their regionals. They clawed their way out to Athens, Georgia, and Division One men, and this just happened last night. We had the Big 12 battling the Pac-12. USC managed to beat Oklahoma 4-2, and we've had Peter Smith on the air here before, and we look forward to having him on again as the summer progresses. And then on the women's side, USCLA defeated University of North Carolina 4-3 for their second title, glad to hear that Coach Sampras, Stella Sampras, has been doing a wonderful job out there at UCLA. Pac-12 really has been doing a great job through the years in representing U.S. tennis, grabbing those titles. But nice to see these other schools slowly starting to catch up with them, the Big 12 and also the ACC in the mix as well. So keep up the good work out there. Now, just a couple of other quick things here before we get Coach Kettleson on the air. And remember, it's a live show, so we'll give out the number if you want to call in with questions today. This came about just recently. At the 2014, the U.S. Open, they're going to feature an inaugural American Collegiate Invitational. And I was excited that the USGA, the ITA, they band together to bring college tennis to the forefront. We need to see more events like this. We need to see interdivisional play. We need to see more collegiate events brought to the forefront. Cooperation through competition is a good thing. I just don't think we've done it enough through the course of the year. So any attempt, any experiment is good. So what's going to happen here is for the first time ever, top American players will compete on the biggest stage in the new event for the 2014 U.S. Open. It will take place September 4th through the 6th at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. 8 men and 8 women will be invited to play singles tournament during the second week of the U.S. Open, with the men's and women's winner each receiving a wild card into a future pro event. So Dave Haggerty, the USTA chairman and CEO, says college tennis plays such a significant role in the vitality of American tennis, and it's important that we are able to highlight some of America's best college players on a worldwide stage at the U.S. Open. Amen to that. The invitation is open only to American players and will feature men's and women's fields of 6 players who are still in college, plus 2 who have exhausted the college eligibility this year. Goes on to list out the eligibility requirements. And the U.S. Open Tournament Director, David Brewer, states, "We are excited to make college tennis a bigger part of the U.S. Open." And hallelujah to that. This is a big deal. Now, the big question in this, will they allow Division III athletes to participate? Will they allow the top junior college athletes to participate? Or will this only be Division I athletes? Because there are some outstanding athletes that participate in these other divisions, NAIA Division II included. And one of our former participants, Jerry Hendrick at Aquinas, he can attest. He's got a great son out there that participates. Eric Buderak, who played Division III tennis, can also attest to these small college kids are just as good as these Division I kids. They maybe just chose a different route. Okay, people? So maybe we ought to start looking at some of these other athletes, not just Division I kids, okay? So let's hope that they open their eyes and say, you know what, maybe there are some other kids out there, not just these Division I university kids. So I'm hoping that they look at that, okay? Division III, they are still participating out there, and I'll let you know that Division III is being hosted out of Claremont Mud Scripps, one of the most interesting Division III programs out there. For those of you that do not know, Claremont Mud Scripps is actually 3 Division III programs. Now, I'm not quite sure how they do that, but it's like having an all-star team. Get that. Claremont Mud Scripps, three different Division III teams, and they get to pick the best players from each of those teams, and they field one Division III team. So I'm not sure how the NCAA actually regulates that, but let's just take an example here. Let's say USC, UCLA, and Stanford put together a Division I team. I would say that they would probably win every year, wouldn't you think? I mean, they would come up with some fancy name for it, but let's just say, so there's absolutely every reason in the world that Claremont Mud Scripps should win every year, people. Okay, but anyway, they're hosting the Division III championships out there, and we'll get you some results, some other college coaches to participate in that in the future. So, again, it's an exciting time for college tennis. The championships are being played. Individuals started at Division I. You know, they carry on 2 weeks of tennis out there. They can't get it all done in a week like these other national championships. They're so big that they got to carry on 2 weeks. But, hey, that's their deal. So, anyway, we're going to try to get Coach Kettleson on here. He should be on in any moment. Let me see here. He should be out there. I am experiencing my own technical difficulties here. It looks like that my iPad has decided to disconnect from the Internet. So hang on, Coach Kettleson, if you're out there, I'll get this taken care of. Just give me just a little bit of time. I'm going to bet that you're out there. So just to bear with me, modern technology at its finest. We get this all the time. There it comes. Hang on, bear with me, Coach. I'm going to bet that you're out there. Here it comes. So, you know, we've had a lot of these college coaches come on, and so we're trying to make it a habit where you got to come on the show in order to win a national championship, and we'll keep pressing forward on that. And like I said, with these coaches that have won, with these coaches that won their national title, we'll pursue them. And we will try to get them on, both the men's championship coaches, and we'll get the women's championship coaches on there, and we'll have them come on, and we'll have them tell their story with how they went through their season, both the fall and the spring. We'll have them come on, tell us about their athletes, their schedule, when their deciding moment was in the season. And then we'll go through the championship week, and we'll discover what the turning point was in the season, what the turning point was in the course of the week, and what allowed them to be successful. It's always interesting to me. These college coaches can kind of narrow it down into a deciding time. So I got it all together, Coach K. I'm going to try to bring you in here. Coach Kelton, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Jason. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's modern wonders of technology here. We always have a ghost in the machine, so to speak. So appreciate you hanging in there.
Well, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm excited to have you on today. Now, there are going to be, and I know they're not from Texas, but there are going to be some people that participate in U.S. tennis that really have no idea, some background information on you, Coach. So if you would just spend a little bit of time here, give us a short biography of who you are and how you got involved in tennis and where you're at now.
Well, I'm the professional tennis management director at Tyler Junior College. My program, I teach kids how to teach tennis and I get them jobs. I started playing tennis when I was 9 years old in Midland, Texas, and I've been fortunate to have a lot of legendary people help me out. My first lesson was from a guy named Bob Mapes, who moved from Midland to Corpus Christi and built up the tennis center down there and the tennis community down there. My high school coach was David Kent, who coached at West Texas State and then coached at A&M for a number of years. Went to college, played NAIA tennis 4 years on a team that was always second or third in the nation. My last year there, I was fortunate to get the finals of singles and doubles and graduated with a business degree, and then I was thinking about getting a double degree and being a high school tennis coach, because in my area in Midland, all the good guys that played tennis were high school coaches at the time. And I got a call from a guy named George Ritchie. George Ritchie's kids, Cliff and Nancy, in 1971, happened to be ranked number one in the U.S. They were first brother and sister tandem to be ranked one in America in the adult age group. So I took a job teaching tennis right across the street from them and was lucky enough to spend 8 years there playing a lot of tennis with Nancy and Cliff. And more importantly, I spent all my off-court time a lot with George, sitting in his living room talking about tennis. He really taught me how to teach tennis and taught me what to look for in a tennis match when I played. Very instrumental in my improvement as a tennis player and as a coach. Moved to Austin in 80. Worked at a tennis club in Austin for years and moved around Austin. And then probably in 1995, I got a call from Jeff Moore, women's coach at University of Texas. And the NCAA had just approved a volunteer coach. You could have a volunteer coach in athletics. And he asked me if I wanted to do it, and then I jumped on board. And I had played with a tennis team, hit some tennis balls with them, played matches against them all the time in Austin. But I'd never really been around a top-rate NCAA program like that. And in 1995, my first year there, we won the NCAAs, and first team to come back from. At that point, we played singles first and doubles last, and it was six singles and three doubles, played off two out of three sets, and at the end of singles, we were down 4-2, and we came back and won the tournament 5-4. We beat Florida, and that was probably first time in years that anybody's ever done that. But Jeff was a very interesting person, a very smart guy, very forward-thinking person, and I learned quite a bit from him. For a lot of people who don't know that in 96-97, he was one of the first guys to sort of change the mindset of teaching tennis. He really advocated competition and playing the game as opposed to just teaching the mechanics of the game. And I'd go around with him to different seminars, and there'd always be somebody from the USTA, and they're kind of looking at it and thinking about it. And finally, they've kind of developed into this system that they have now, where it's a lot of times getting kids out on the court to play. So went from University of Texas to I moved to Tyler in 2001 to work in the program, direct the program, and fortunate enough here at TJC, it's a very good tennis school. They had won numerous national champions under Coach Peterson, John Peterson. He's actually in the Hall of Fame, I believe, NCAA Hall of Fame, and learned a lot on teaching tennis and how to manage people in that regard. So that's pretty much my quick bio right there.
Coach, you have quite the pedigree, in Texas tennis, and I recognize that. You got quite the pedigree in national tennis. You've spent a great deal of time studying tennis, and now you're spending a great deal of time giving back to tennis. You've got kind of the dream job. Am I correct in that?
Yes, I'm very fortunate to have a job that I love, and it's very rewarding to me, and I just feel very fortunate that I'm here at this spot as we speak.
And, Coach, you have spent, and we're going to talk a lot about junior college tennis. We're going to talk about that UT experience, and we're going to give some time today to that professional tennis management program that you got there. You have spent the last 2 weeks coaching your rear end off at the Junior College Nationals, and came up just a little bit short with both teams. But let's start with the ladies there at TJC. You had a chance to play at home. How do you prepare your team to play at home, Coach?
Well, a lot of times playing at home sometimes is more actually difficult than playing on the road, because you really don't have, when you go on the road with the team, you go to a national tournament, you're all together, you know what you eat, you do a lot of things, and and they don't really have their downtime. You pretty much control them. But when you're here at home, you don't really have that. And the hard thing is you try to keep the same same routine as what you do on the road. You have special times where you all eat together at certain times, and so try to get them up in the morning, get them over to eat breakfast, get them to the trainer to get them ready to go, have a good hour warm-up before it starts, and then go from there with the tournament. And in a sense, I think it's a little harder at home than it is on the road because you just don't have as much control over what over the situation and what's on really on what they're doing when they leave the tennis center. So I think it's a little bit more difficult, but, you know, you do have a home crowd. You do have the students coming out, and you do have the faculty come out and watching the play and supporting you. So, and one thing, that's one of the best things about it.
Yeah, now you and I both know Tyler is historically a very tennis-oriented community, and I
yes,
was up
is.
There during the event. It showed itself that there were a lot of tennis fans. That does help with the Apache tennis team, Coach.
No, it does. And that's one of the things that, you know, one of the better things of being at home, because you have people that come out and they support it, and they know the students, they know the players, and, you know, they all have some of their favorite players, and it's always a good thing. It's a good thing to play here, and I wish we could. We're in a situation with the Ladies Nationals. We're going to host it every other year for the next 3 years, and the other years it's going to go to Tucson, and so it's a lot of work putting on the tournament, though. I mean, our athletic department does a great job. The city of Tyler does a wonderful job, and it's a lot of hard work, and we always appreciate what happens for us here, BJC.
Yeah, it's an interesting deal, and I was going to mention that, you know, you co-host the event, and so it's a back and forth deal. You guys have a spectacular facility. You know, how many teams come to this event, Coach?
Well, this time I think we had a record number for the women. We had 31 teams, so that's quite a bit. I think the highest number that goes to Tucson is maybe 25 in that area, I think. And we had 31 teams represented here. So Tyler being centrally located, it's a nice place to come. Nice place to play. Can't find a better tennis center than what we have. So, you know, hopefully in the future we can bid on it and keep having it and maybe get it for each year, we hope.
Yeah, Coach. Now, what we used to do battle there. I was at Lee, you at TJC. What I found most interesting about this national event, and this is my first time to be at TJC here watching it, you guys had 16 courts, 31 teams, and you ran either ahead of schedule or on schedule every day with plenty of time for these girls to rest and didn't seem to have any scheduling problems. Tucson, Arizona, at their tennis center, had 30 courts and always seemed to be running behind every day. What's the secret?
I can't tell you. I've never been to Tucson, but with here, we work very hard on trying to get the tournament scheduled. We have a good group of umpires that come in and the tournament director and then coordinate it. We have microphones, and when somebody gets off the court, we immediately put somebody back on it. So we don't have a lot of wait time, and we try to run it as close to schedule as we possibly can, and it worked out. We're just very well organized with the umpires and the tournament director.
And Coach, the junior colleges play a unique format there, where it is a team event, but you play individual draws for points. The winners get a certain amount of points. They also include the back draw consolation, are able to contribute to their team with half points. This is an event that it continues to build momentum as the week goes along, even if you lose that first round match. Are you a fan of this format?
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, anytime you're in a national tournament and, you know, you have six flights of singles and three flights of doubles, and anytime you win a national tournament, a lot of times you have to be, in my experience, you have to have a little, you have to be skilled, for one, but you have to have a little bit of luck. And playing in a national tournament, you know, there's a lot of times nerves are involved and things like that, and you never know what's going to happen the first round, and so, or if you get a bye in the first match, there's a consolation. And going into the consolation and letting people play, and you guarantee them at least two matches, and so they get to feel for a tournament. Even if they lose the first two, you know, if they lose two matches, they're still here. They get the feel of being in a national tournament. And if the further on you go, you get a half point for each match you win in the back draw. In the main draw, you get a point for each match you win. It all adds up. So it becomes a truly a team event. So, you know, everybody contributes one way or another to the team. And I think it's a good thing. We're playing full two out of three sets. The back draw is a pro set, but everything else, the main draw is two out of three sets. And so it's a endurance battle, and it's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. Now, they start on Sunday, and they try to finish on Thursday. Usually play a doubles and a singles each day, right, Coach? I mean, it's not too heavy on the players.
No, it's pretty much the only thing that could change it would be if it rains during early in the week and you have to go back to back sometimes. But most of the time, the women starts on Sunday, ends on Thursday, and you get it done. And it's just one singles match, one doubles match a day.
Now the junior college format. Help me out here, you guys. You play two out of three sets for the singles, two out of three sets for the doubles?
At the nationals, in dual meets during the year, we'll play pro set and doubles and two out of three sets in singles.
Okay. And how do you like that?
I've been playing tennis a long time, and I like playing two out of three sets. I like playing two out of three sets. I think it's important. I think tennis is a game of fitness, and I think two out of three sets in singles is makes a very interesting match. I also wish we could do it in doubles. I know when the NCAA's, I was at Texas when the NCAA changed to pro set in doubles, and It took me a long time to get used to it because I'm such a traditionalist, and I see their point. They're trying to shorten matches and things like that. But to me, I think for fitness sake and for mental improvement, I think two out of three sets is the way to go. But I'm sure they're not ever going to change it back.
Yeah.
So we have to deal with it and play the pro set and hope to get off to a good start.
Yeah. Now, you know, as you go through this, I mean, you're faced with 31 teams when you start this, Coach. That's a pretty big draw when you look at this. And TJC, normally a national powerhouse, were you guys seeded one in most of these draws?
We were seeded one or two in most of the draws. Our women went into the tournament ranked number one. We lost to the number two school, ASA, from New York. They had a really deep team, and they probably had a little bit better team than we did, even though we beat them in a dual meet earlier on. But we were seeded one or two in most of the events, and that always adds a little bit of pressure, too, when you go to a national tournament and you're seated that high. But our girls, you know, our girls came through pretty well. We had some matches that we probably didn't play as well as we should have, but, you know, that goes with being a national tournament. So we were close, and we competed well. And basically, you know, all a coach wants is somebody is a group of whatever his team is to make sure that they compete well. That's what makes the coach happy. If you compete well, you're getting somewhere.
Right, Coach. Now, did you face some competition from other schools in the nation?
Yeah, there's as far as overall, a lot of, like, there's a couple of schools in Florida. Florida has got a couple of girls. We were pretty deep. I mean, us and the school in New York, ASA, we were probably like 6 or 7 deep. We were pretty good. And the way the junior college is with girls, sometimes it's not that strong down at the bottom at 4, 5, and 6, just simply because NCAA's Title IX kind of, they can get a little bit better girls than we can a lot of times, and they have a little bit better scholarships than we have, and so the rest, generally junior colleges, they'll have 1 or 2, maybe 3 really good girls, and then everybody else is weak or so. And all these spots, you know, at 1, 2, and 3, you're going to run into somebody from a school from somewhere that's really good, that's pretty good. A team like in Seward, Kansas, he's got 2 girls at top that are they were seeded number 2 in doubles. And if you've ever been to Seward, Kansas, it's not the greatest place in the world to be in, and it's tennis wise, but things like that happen, and that's what happens in junior college.
Yes, sir. So you know what I found interesting about the event is you guys were you're scheduled to finish on Thursday, and this was a dramatic finish by junior college standards. Coach, can you kind of help us fill it in? I mean, you guys were you were in most of the finals in that day, right?
Yeah, it was pretty much on Thursday. It came down to us and ASA, and third place team Georgia Perimeter had some girls in there, and the basically on Wednesday in the semis, our number 1 girl beat a girl that was seated ahead of her, who she lost to from Georgia Perimeter, got to the final, and so we're all, you know, we're a couple of points, one ahead, I think, or whatever, going into Thursday, and it rained us out on Thursday, and we had to finish on Friday, so that added another day of tension, and so we went into the finals and in the event, and came down to if we would we lost by 1 point, so we could have won, or you know, could have won it just as easy as we lost it. So it was an exciting time coming down to the last day, and we went into the singles. I think we were tied going into the singles, and so no, we were one up going into the doubles after the singles, I think, and had to win a couple of doubles matches to win it, and we only won 1, and lost it 2 and 3, and lost the event by 1. So a lot of excitement there that day on Friday.
Yeah, it was an exciting event, Coach. And then was it take you a day, maybe a day and a half, and you have to load up the van and travel to Plano, Texas with your men?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things with the junior college is most of the coaches coach both the men and women. And so the whole design of it, I think, is to start the women on Sunday, end on Thursday, and then the men start the next Monday. But everybody has got to get into Dallas on Sunday. So it gives everybody kind of a breather to catch your breath and get reorganized and go ahead and start with the men. And you have to learn doing it for a few years. You kind of have to learn how to catch your breath and recharge and really take a day off if you can, and then get after it again with the men.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I didn't travel down to Plano, so let's start off with this men's event. How many teams are at the men's event, Coach?
There were about 26, I believe, 26 teams, which
okay.
is a good number. That's kind of about the average it is with the men, and starts on Monday. And if you're lucky enough to be seated with that kind of a draw, you kind of get the day off. And most of our guys had the day off. We didn't play a match on Monday, so we go and set up a practice at a tennis center nearby and have a practice and then kind of rest in the afternoon and start again on Tuesday. And this year it happened to rain on Tuesday, and so it rained. They got some events in. They got some of the first round matches in. I'm sorry, it rained on Monday. I'm sorry. Right after we had our practice, and they got behind in it because of the rain, and they finished it up on Tuesday. We got some singles in on Tuesday, but we didn't get any doubles in on Tuesday. So Wednesday meant that we were going to play singles and two doubles matches. And now that we've done that before over there when it rains, and but it adds to making Wednesday a very long day for the coaches and the players. And our guys came through with it. They came through strong, and we managed to move into the Thursday in the semifinals in pretty good shape. Our number one guy didn't have to go in the back draw. He's been a really good guy from Cowley County in Kansas. First round, the guy was played an incredible match, made two unforced errors the first set, and our guy was probably hadn't lost a junior college match all year, and so he was picked to win it. He ends up going the back draw. He wins the back draw. He wins with some half points, and we did well. We ended up winning at number one doubles. Won it five singles. Won it three singles. Got to the finals at six singles. Got to the finals at two singles. Got to the finals at three doubles, and we lost out by 2 points to ASA again from New York.
You know, I've been there right where you're at, Coach, and I know it's that final day going into it, you know, anything can happen, and it's exciting times at times, and then, when that last ball struck and you realize as a coach, you know, we don't really have a chance here, it's hard to go through those things, and, you know, but in the end, and I was sure. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, some teams are we've been very lucky the last couple of years to have. I mean, last year we won the men's thing, and I had a group of guys that were really a coach's dream, because all of them they competed like crazy. I mean, they didn't have any excuses or anything else. They just went out and did what they had on the court that day, and I can say after that tournament on Friday, we gave it everything we had. We were exhausted mentally and physically, and you put a lot of things into it all year. You prep, you train, you do everything you can to try to win the national tournament because you think you got a good shot at it. And right there at the end, I can't say it was disappointing, but yeah, it was. But it was just exhausting. And I will say that, you know, our guys did, they came through. That we asked them to do a lot of things, and they put the work in, and they did everything they could to win that tournament, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, well, I was going to share that, you know, whenever you look at it as a marathon and not a sprint, Coach, I mean, when you look at the overall record TJC has accumulated over its lifetime, you know, there is nothing to be disappointed at all, and that's what you got, you know, and I know you guys do a great job of that, and that's, you know, you come up short sometimes, but that doesn't diminish anything that those boys and girls, those young men and women do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they did everything we asked them to do, and they just came up short, and they, you know, we told both teams, you know, they need to keep their head up. They did exceptional things. They had really, both teams had a good year, and they worked hard at it. And we'll just move on, and we'll learn from it and get better.
Coach, do the men play the same format as the women, two out of three sets and on both sides, singles and doubles?
Yeah, both sides, singles and doubles.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I would just say, you know, it – The weather heats up, it gets a little hotter. So it's an endurance too. So it's a, you know, we really pride ourselves on being fit, and it pays off for us a lot of times.
Yeah, and this Texas weather, you and I both understand, and even in Tucson in May, if you're not in good shape, it can really, really hurt your chances as that week goes along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to be, you know, that's, I think that's one of the good things about what we do in junior college tennis is that we don't really, you know, we shorten the format a little bit in the doubles, but, you know, our singles, our team matches are six singles and three doubles, and they all count, so everybody counts. We hardly ever end the match when somebody wins four, so everybody gets to play, everybody gets to contribute, and it's what tennis is all about. It's a game of fitness, mentally and physically, and I think that's where we help kids a lot in that area.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious, how many women do you carry on your team, and how many men do you carry on your team?
Generally, we'll carry about eight or nine women. Last year, we had 13 men. That's probably a little too many. We'll probably end up with like 10 or 12, 10 to 11, maybe even just eight. Sometimes when you get that many guys out there, that many girls, you know, your practice doesn't go quite go as you want it to go. But we try to accommodate as many people as we can.
Do you have just double specialists? Do you see what I'm saying? Do a lot of kids get to play?
You know, it just really depends on, it really honest depends on what our lineup looks like. In the past, we've had guys and girls that are not that proficient in singles, but they're really good in doubles and have played doubles only. It's year by year. It just really depends on the individual's strengths and weaknesses when they come to school and how they develop during the year.
Now I got to ask about your practices, Coach. You know, at Lee, we just had the ladies. Do you guys practice together still there at TJC?
Yeah, we do. We practice at 2:30 every day. We start out with a meeting, have a meeting, and discuss whatever plans we have to have, whatever things happening. Then we go over what we're going to do in practice, and then we go over what we're going to do in conditioning. Then we put them out on the court and have about a 5 to 8 minute warm up, then we start our drills, and we always end practice around, start winding down around 4:15 with what we call I needs. We give them about 15 minutes to work on something that they need to work on, that they think they need to work on, or what we want them to work on. Always end practice with overheads, and then we go to conditioning at 4:30, and then we're done probably around 5:15. That's kind of our daily routine.
Now, Coach, when I was at Lee, we relied a lot on interdivisional play, being one of the top community colleges. You know, is that still happening for you guys? Or are the Division IIs, the IIIs, the Division Is, are they still participating with you guys?
We play a lot of Division II teams. We don't play that many Division III teams. UT Tyler here is a good Division III team. We'll play them once a year. The rules in Division I are getting so where they have to. They really don't play us that much anymore. Simply because one, if they lose to us, it hurts them in getting into the NCAAs, and so they don't really. We don't really play a lot of Division I's. I think this year maybe we played one. We played one in Lafayette, Louisiana, and for the men. But everybody else, we probably played Division II. We played some Division II teams, and then we played our normal junior college teams.
And your fall schedule is it? Do you get to play some Division I's? Is that a little different?
It's a little different because it's more of a tournament format, and. It really just depends on, you know, a lot around the ITA regional tournaments in the fall. And our schedule is such that in years past, we've played a lot of, gone to a lot of Division I tournaments. Some years it's, we do, some years we don't. It just really depends on how the schedule works out for us. And but no, we'll get invited to some of Division I tournaments, and always enjoy doing that. And it gives our kids a shot at looking what competition is like in Division I, and it also gives some Division I coaches a good look at what our players look like. So in the future, if they might recruit a couple of our guys or girls.
Very good. Now, Coach, I'm going to give out that call-out number just in case anybody's listening in today that wants to call in. But we're going to talk about PTM and UT Austin before we get out of here today.
Okay.
People, if you want to call in and call and got a question for Coach Kettleson, it's 714-583-6853. And he'll be glad to answer any junior college questions you got. And this tennis technology program we're going to talk about is definitely something you want to ask about. Coach, let's talk about, and I call it Tennis Tech because I graduated from this program. I got to admit, I didn't necessarily graduate. I went through the program. I did certain things, and I was a part of the program, it's a great program. So tell the people. I mean, you wear multiple hats at the school, Coach. What else do you do here?
Well, you know, my main job is really I'm the director of the professional tennis program, and Tennis Tech got his name. In junior college, you have a workforce technical aspect at schools. For instance, computers and photography and automotive and things like that. And the tennis management program started in 1973, and probably by a guy named Fred Niffen, who's a legend here in Texas, and it was taken over by a guy named Steve Smith, who's very, very good at technical teaching. But because it was in the technical program, he sort of gave it the nickname Tennis Tech. He developed that, and it's kind of stuck through the years. And basically, you know, we teach people how to teach tennis. And we start out, the first class is called Scientific Approach, and we go over reasons why, how to use your body, biomechanics in tennis. We teach students how do people learn? How are they going to be able to teach tennis? I mean, how do people learn by visual, kinesthetic, by hearing it? How can you communicate with people correctly so that they can get the best out of your lesson? And then we go from, basically we have a lab every day for 2 hours where we do a lot of drills. We do a lot of feeding drills. We teach kids how to feed a lesson, importance of feeding, how to run a group lesson, basically, and how to run a private lesson on progressions on where you have a plan. You actually have a lesson plan on what you're trying to do and to make you a little bit more successful. And then because, you know, it's a state school and it's in our workforce program, our job is to graduate people, and then our job is to prove that it is an acceptable profession to be in and that we can get them jobs. So that's our goal, is to, if they choose, when they leave here, they can go to a four-year school, get a four-year degree, or we try to get them a job and get them out in the workforce teaching tennis.
Coach, now
and
you're not the only
people.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm not the only one. There's a four-year school up in Michigan, and there's another four-year school in North Carolina that have a four-year degree. State is in Michigan. It's a business degree. It's a four-year business degree. And then the school of Presbyterian in North Carolina actually has a tennis program involved in their resort restaurant business, and so it's sort of connected in that way. But the ball programs are designed to help students who love tennis, help them learn how to teach tennis, and to get them employed in the tennis industry.
Now, I've always heard that one of the advantages of the Tennis Tech program is that we spend more time on court than the four-year school.
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's one of the main differences, is that we're on the court every day and 5 days a week, and we do drills every day. I mean, my main job is to get them to where they learn how to teach tennis and how they actually do drills, and so that's what we do. And they either learn how to do it. I mean, a lot of times standing out in front of a group of people is a little scary, and we get them used to doing that and get them to where they can control the court and have a lesson plan and hopefully be successful. They'll be ready to be successful when they get out and teach. And teach them how to feed a ball. You'd be surprised how many guys know how to play tennis but can't feed a ball. And that's one of the main things.
Coach, I was at Stephen F. Austin on my last semester there. I was flunking horribly there. I decided that I had finally found what I wanted to do. I thought I'd be a basketball coach and a tennis coach. I had started to design offenses as a basketball guy, and my dad brought over this catalog from TJC, and inside of there I found Tennis Tech, and I said, "You got to be kidding me. There's a school that teaches people how to do tennis and instruction," and I said, "This is it." And I was in heaven. This was amazing. And when I got there, Coach, it was. And I got to spend hours a day in a tennis environment. And it's truly amazing. I mean, for me, and I know there are others in there, because I was back in one of your classes this semester. It's still that environment. This is like a vacuum for tennis people.
Yeah, that's what I hope it to be. Tennis is my life. I love tennis. It's my main hobby and my love. And my hope is that I can share some of my experiences and my love of the game with these guys. And it's made for you to teach tennis. You got to like being out there. You got to like being outside. And my hope is that I explain, and it's also, it's not the easiest job in the world to do, because you gotta be fairly fit to do it, and you have to be able to, you're gonna work long hours. The pay's pretty good, but some guys don't realize that that's what it's about. But by doing what we do in our program, they soon realize that I can do this, and I'm gonna enjoy this, and I'm gonna have a nice job that I enjoy and get paid pretty decent for it.
Yeah, I always say, Coach, I mean, you could spend hours and hours in a cubicle, or you could be on a tennis court.
Exactly.
Which would you rather?
Yeah. And that's for me. I'd rather be outside. That's
I agree, Coach. Now you help on-court instruction. You help them learn how to string a racket?
We do. Yes, we teach them how to string rackets. We have umpire school where they can start out being in the umpire business. I mean, as a history, we've had a couple of people that have been in the chair at the U.S. Open. And then we've had one guy that student of mine who went around the world being a linesman at all the major tournaments in the world for a couple of years. And so, that's always an outing for them. And we teach them how to run a tournament, teach them how to do tournaments, how to organize it, everything about a tournament works, teach them how to do leagues, teach them how to do mixers at clubs. So when they come out, when they go to work for somebody, it's going to be where they're going to have some sort of knowledge on really what a tennis professional does, what a director of tennis does on the job. And, the tennis director's main job is to make sure that his tennis facility, that the members have fun playing tennis and that they come out and play tennis. So there's a lot more to it than just say, hey, I'm going to grab a hopper of balls and go teach. The tennis director's got to keep them going. And basically, we teach them how to do the activities to keep the members coming out to the club. So that keeps the club manager happy, and it keeps the because you're always doing things like mixers and leagues and tournaments, the members are going to want to take more lessons. They're going to want to get better.
Well, Coach, I mean, you cover a lot of things leading up to these kids taking the USPTA exam, correct?
Yes, we do. And that's one of my main jobs is to is to get them ready, get them certified, get them ready to take the SPTA test and become certified teaching pros.
And while they're, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say that, you know, I also make the professional, the PTR available to them too if they choose, but I'm pretty much mainly a USPTA just simply because a lot of times in our area here it's pretty much USPTA certification and not the PTR certification.
Yes, sir.
So that's available to them too, but I don't really stress all that one that much.
Okay. And while they're here in Tyler, do they have opportunities to teach on their own, or can they get with clubs and other things while they're here?
We have people at community call us up and want lessons, and they're available. We can, you know, use our tennis center and stuff here to teach tennis, and various clubs often hire our guys for pretty much to help out with lessons, pretty much help out with a lot of their junior programs in the afternoon. Most of my guys go to class in the morning, so helping out with adult groups is difficult for them sometimes, but every now and then we do it. But we've got, you know, my students have been, they've worked in every club in town. The local tennis pros are very agreeable to having these guys come work for them, and they've been very, very good to me in that regard. And so my guys get some experience while they're here also. And then in the summer, they're asked to do an internship someplace and get added experience. So when they graduate from here, they're going to be good assistant pros. My program's really not designed to be a director of tennis because it's too short. You can't be a director of tennis in 2 years. That would be failure for them for sure because there's so many other things involved. But they will be a good assistant pro, and they will make some good money and hopefully work their way up to be a director of pro, to be a director of tennis sometime in the future.
Right, Coach, I'll admit, when I got there and I started this, I said, I want to be a college tennis coach. Do you still have kids come through there that are doing it for the same thing that I did? They want to be college tennis coaches?
No, not so much. Most of my guys, I've had one guy who's actually been an assistant coach. He's an assistant coach at Louisiana Lafayette now. He's been in Auburn. He's been a head coach. He really wanted to be a coach, but most of these guys are kind of, they might want to be a high school coach, but they also realize that from going from TJC here, they'll have to go to a four-year school and get their education degree before they can do that. So I have more of them that are probably leaning towards a high school coach than do a college coach in these days.
So, and as you see, see this business, this PTM management as it goes through it, is there a lot of opportunity out here for kids to get into the business world of tennis teaching?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I have more people calling me looking for assistant pros than I can give away. I've got, you know, most of my students are have jobs to get out and get jobs, and I have a lot of people that are looking for good tennis pros these days. So the business is, there is a need for good tennis pros. And
Coach,
I feel like probably,
Texas,
no,
right?
I get calls from all over the United States. You know, I've got talked to people from New York, from North Carolina, out west in New Mexico, Arizona. Everybody's looking for good assistant tennis pros these days.
Oh.
So it's a good business to get into.
And so, Coach, I mean, these kids, I mean, how do they find you? Do they go online or do you advertise in magazines? How do they find you?
Basically, they can go online to tjc.edu. and look for the professional tennis management program. I advertise in a magazine here in Texas. Get a lot of Texas people in the USTA magazine, and a lot of times it's just word of mouth. I mean, I get a lot of, because we've been around since 1973, and we were the first ones ever to have a professional tennis management program. And we have a good reputation. I mean, when I put somebody out there, they're generally, they can do the work, and the employer is good for them. So the reputation helps, and it's just a various other thing. So it's working out.
Well, very good. Now, Coach, before I let you get out of here today, and we're going to spend just a little bit of time here. I mean, people don't understand that you're not only a national champion at the junior college division, but you're a Division I national champion coach as well. And you mentioned that earlier in your biography. So, and we had Coach Moore on earlier back in late April and early May. Coach, hook 'em horns. I mean, you know, you coached some women to win some national championships up there. What's the big difference between Division I athletes winning national championships and junior college females winning national championships?
Well, one, it's NCAA Division I level. You've got six or seven girls that are really good. You know, it's tough competition up there at Division I. It is a tough deal. And secondly, you're working with a lot of times you're working with like here at junior college, you're working with kids that are 18 and 19 years old. And at Division I, you're starting them at 18, and you're going with you. Generally, they're going to go with you until they're 22. So you sort of grow up with them. They kind of grow up with you. They kind of grow up into adulthood. And there's a huge difference between a sophomore and a junior in college, and how you work with them and how you speak with them. And Jeff was just a master at being able to manage that situation. He knew how to do it. He knew how to treat all the girls. He treated them all the same. I mean, all equal. But he knew how to talk with an 18-year-old. He knew how to talk with a 22-year-old. And you know, he kind of grew up there at Texas. When he started at Texas, he was recruiting really highly ranked girls, and he wasn't. He's a coach. He wants his team to get better. He thinks that every year they're going to get better. He wants everybody to improve. He knows that he's going to help them improve. And he basically got in a situation where his team wasn't doing well at the Nationals and things like that. And he changed his whole philosophy, and he went and tried to recruit girls who were not necessarily the best in the country, but had potential. He started looking for good athletes and people that he wanted to work on, and he really built a successful program with it. And one of his main deals was called, he calls it Training Lions. And if you follow him now, it's Strivers. He's in the business community trying to help businesses employ people that are trying to get better all the time, who are smart, independent people. And Jeff was just—he was a very forward-thinking coach on how he ran practices and what we did, and just a very, very wonderful experience for me.
Yeah, and
you know,
I have to ask, Coach. I mean, you've been coaching, and your experiences through the years. I mean, what's the difference in the type of athlete that you saw when you started, and what you're coaching now?
Oh, the athleticism, especially in women, is just so much better. It's just amazing, just really how good these girls are, how athletic they are, and which goes to show, you know, that the Title IX thing in college tennis has really helped women and women in other sports. You know, used to, when you really started coaching, a lot of times, or if you teach tennis at a club, a lot of times you have girls that have no serves at all because they never threw balls. They never threw anything as a kid. You know, they didn't throw rocks. They didn't do anything. And now these days, these girls are playing softball. They're doing things. They're shooting baskets. They're doing everything. And you know, they're just good. They're just so much better athletes. And now you see girls can really serve. I mean, they've got good service motions. It looks good. It's They can put spin on the ball. They can do a lot of things that guys have been doing for years. So it's just an amazing thing to see, and it's wonderful to see that, how much they've improved athletically.
Coach, when I watch you over at the Junior College Nationals, and my mentor being a Coach Peterson, he and I were joking about your coaching style, and what we said was, is you've got to be the greatest cut man in the history of all of tennis. And what we meant by that was you knew exactly when to interject yourself into the match, and the match we were watching was the number two singles match. You sat quietly in the corner of the match, of the boxing match, and right at the exact moment you needed to get involved, that was the case. Has that always been your philosophy, is just kind of hang loose and wait and wait and wait, and then when you see that right moment to pounce on that opponent?
Well, I kind of used that. I've kind of morphed into that a little bit. When I started at University of Texas, I was on the court a lot, and I found that, you know, I'm telling these girls how to do things and telling them where to play, where to hit the ball, and I found that, you know, they're too dependent on me. I mean, they're just too way. I felt like I thought, I'm the greatest coach that ever lived. I'm helping these people win it. And then, you know, after a while, I realized, you know, I'm really not helping them because they're too dependent on me, and that's not what tennis is all about. And so I've worked on trying to get the feel of the match. You know, I still play tournaments. I'm still active at it. So I have an idea what's going on in competition. I look at body language. I look at all sorts of things. And then when I go out to talk to them, I want to make sure I have something important to say to them and not just to be talking, not just to go out there. So, you know, hopefully, you know, some days I have magic, some days I don't have magic. But I really want them to be I would really want them to be learn something, but I want them to be kind of independent thinkers out there. I want them to try to figure out some things if I can help them, but I really don't want them to be independent on me. So I've sort of morphed into just trying to pick the right moments to talk to them.
Coach,
and I treat the guys the same thing, huh?
Yeah.
What's
can
that?
Can you tell us your worst coaching memory there at the University of Texas? You don't have to name names.
Oh yeah, one time we were playing a school and we had a girl on the team that sort of tanked the match and then we go eat and she's just filling her face full of food and I'm sitting across from her and I'm just thinking, you know, I don't like people tanking matches, and I'm just getting madder and madder, and I'm not saying anything. And you know, we drive and get to the hotel, and you know, I actually told Jeff, I said, you know, Jeff, if this girl walks by, we're on the second floor. I said, you know, if I see this girl out on the balcony, I'm so mad at her, I don't, you know, I could probably throw her off the balcony into the pool. And he kind of laughed at that, but. I would never have done it, but you know what it felt like, because I felt like she cheated the whole team. So I just kept getting madder and madder. And the problem was, it was my court. It was my responsibility. That's why I was so mad.
I can understand that. Now, Coach, I got to give you a fair play in that. Can you share with us through the years, whether it be UT or TJC, one of the most memorable experiences that you've had as a college coach?
Well, of course, I think winning the NCAAs in 95, coming back from 4-2 down, and that was primarily, you know, those girls were just, they were just tough. They were just, I had a couple of girls on that team just really carried the team mentally. Kelly Pace being the main leader of that group. And then last year's men's team, we had some things happen where we lost a guy quit on us, and then a guy hurt, and we went into the Nationals really shorthanded. Everybody thought we were going to get wiped out, and we won it by like 20 points. And that team was really special, and that's just kind of the same part of the same group this year. So when you have things like that happen, you don't, as a coach, sometimes you only get couple of those in a lifetime, and they're just very special for me. I mean, last year's men's team and the 95 women's team is just, for me, it's one of the, it just brings shivers up my spine to think about it, because it's one of the best moments that I've ever been involved in, I think. So,
yeah,
those things are very special.
Well, I can agree with both those coaches. I'm glad to share those with you and special stories. I want to thank you for coming on today, Coach. It's been great talking to you, listening to promote your programs and tell your stories. You're just a fun teacher, a fun coach.
Well, I thank you, Jason, and I look forward to seeing you around. And, again, I appreciate you having me on. So have a good day, huh?
You bet. You too. Get out there and hit some tennis balls today.
I'm going to right now. See you later.
All right. Bye. All right. Take care. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Kim Kettleson. Kim has been around this sport of ours for a good while, and he knows what he's talking about. He's been around this great state of ours here in Texas and has put in his time with some great minds on this sport, and it shows through his experiences, and he offers it back to some great young minds, and we're so thankful that he's involved, and his love of our sport shows with the stories that he tells, and also with the attitude of his give back attitude, and just so thankful that he came on today and shared those stories with us and his experiences, and can't thank him enough. I'm fortunate to be here in Tyler, and I get to see this guy as often as I want to. His door is open there at TJC. And that's what I love, being back here in the area. A lot of people know me from my Lee College days, and they forget that I was black and gold before I was red and black there at Lee. And to reconnect with some of these people here in the Tyler area has been phenomenal for me, and just a welcomed experience. And just to get back in here in this community that is a tennis community, just is so. So nice, and so I look forward to many more visits with Coach Kettleson. Now, next week, we're going to dive back into that Division I world, and you know it's crazy, crazy times out there, and we've got a gentleman that's been writing about the Division I world, Barry Buss. Barry's a UCLA graduate, and if you can't, or if you haven't caught up on his articles, Division I college tennis in the Google and put Barry Buss, and man, you're going to open your eyes up to some interesting articles this guy's been writing, and we're going to catch up with him and open his eyes up to what's happening in the tennis world, not just Division I, but the rest of the community out there, and see if we can get some things moving in a positive direction. And let me tell you, people, it's getting worse. And if we don't do something, I'm going to tell you, it's going to go downhill very fast, and you people better start paying attention. And you Division I coaches out there, you better start speaking up, or else you're going to lose. You're going to really lose what you think you have. And let me tell you right now, you don't have much. And that's you women coaches, too. You better get on the ball, the tennis ball, that is. So anyway, thanks for listening in today. Look forward to speaking to you again next week. As always, get out there and hit some tennis balls. It's a great, beautiful day. Catch you next week. Bye-bye.